All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat tonight. USA Abbey Girl is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Sexy Pony's on. Greg Nine Mon is on. My Broken Heart is on. Mobetta 01 is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. The Great 8 is on. Mr. Cool Dude, who I met yesterday, is on. Let me see here. Scooter Magruder is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. JD Joy is on. Agravain is on. Bob Corley is on. JG CK, who I met yesterday, is on. Love you guys. Really appreciate you coming to the church yesterday. And they traveled to come. Thank you guys. Love you. Appreciate you. General Plowman is on. Mike Griffith is on. Let me see here. Michelle Tal is on. Wait Away is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. Gucci Buckeye is on. Let me see here. B Haven is on. DK Jackson is on. Golf Master 1 is on. Graffiti Bug is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Granite 2468. Missed you guys at the church is on. Hope you're enjoying. I can't remember which state you guys moved to. North Carolina, I think. But anyway, I hope you guys are enjoying it. Love you. Veronica 18201 is on. Let me see here. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. LA 106 times is on. Let me grab one or two more here. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Milwaukee James is on. Linesmanson 1998 is on. Let me grab one more here. Let me see. Arcadia Angel is on. Oh, right next to her is Hugo Stiglitz is on. There's Current Keeper 1376. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right into the Trump section of the show. Some of it's directly about Trump. Some of it's linked to Trump. But it's all basically about Trump. So Chief Nerd Video, Lindsey Graham. He actually says this. I feel good. Aaron set this one in, of course. I feel good about, because Aaron's motto is black pill with red sprinkles. But Aaron's motto is, aren't you glad we won? Well, and I am glad we won. I'm not at Aaron's level yet of black pillness. But anyway, so Lindsey Graham, I feel good about where we're going as a nation. We're killing all the right people. He couldn't have said that. Well, let's see. Play it for me.
Speaking of Donald Trump. He said, hey, so he's a great president. If you don't believe me, just ask him. What happened with me and him was we found common ground. I've come to like him and he likes him, and that changed our entire relationship. But he did the Golan Heights thing. Remember, Ron? He said, I called him up, where you at? I'm with BB on the Golan Heights. He said, I didn't know we were in New York. No, that's another Golan Heights. We're over there. He recognized the Golan Heights by tweet because he understood you can't give it back to Syria because they'll use it to kill you. He recognized Jerusalem as capital of Israel. Why? Because if you got a problem with that, take it up with God. He's the guy that did it, not Trump. So I just want to say, I feel good about the Republican Party. I feel good about where we're going as a nation. We're killing all the right people and we're cutting your taxes. Trump is my favorite president. We've run out of bombs. We didn't run out of bombs in World War II.
So in that one there, I had to endure Aaron's constant commentary in my ears. I have an earpiece right there and Aaron can talk right into it. So can Brent, by the way. But anyway, most of the time, Aaron's pretty quiet. But in these things like this, I mean, when it has to do with rhinoism, Republican hypocrisy, did we really win anything when we won the elections, whatever, maybe midterms, Trump, anybody else, then Aaron chimes in. Then Aaron's like, and usually I have to kind of solicit him to respond, but not with this the whole time. It's disgusting. Okay. That was the Republican-Jewish coalition. Should we have anything like that? Here's my thing. And again, this is where I stand. I am not anti-Israel. I love Israel. I just want everybody to always understand my position with this stuff. Is I love Israel. I certainly do not side with radical Islam over Israel. I don't side with regular Islam over Israel. I hate the faith of Islam. I hate the Muslim faith. I don't hate Islamic people. I hate their faith. So I certainly don't side with that. And again, it's very strange now because in America, if you have anything but, if you're not at the Republican Jewish coalition meeting, then you are attacked by Rhino and establishment Republicans while you're being attacked by Jonathan Greenblatt's ADL. Isn't that weird? I mean, it's so weird how all this works, isn't it? I mean, it's such divergent paths and such divergent opinions, and you're being attacked by your alleged allies and your enemies at the same time over the same thing. Isn't that weird? The ADL, which everything is defamation, everything is anti-Semitic, and then, and that is a liberal organization that actually supports pro-Palestinian protests. You're like, Tom, Aaron, can you make that make sense? Because the ADL doesn't come out and specifically support them, but they support the people who support them.
Right.
Like, Tom, make it, but it doesn't. It's all selfish. It's love of money. Again, the love of money is the root of all evil. That's just it. 1 Timothy 6:10. Everybody's going after money. It's not that Jonathan Greenblatt has any ethics. He's completely devoid. He is anti-ethics. He's antithetical to ethics. But he gets paid lots of money to run the ADL. And if you're going to get paid lots of money to run the Anti-Defamation League, then you're going to have to find yourself some defamation. That's really how it works. And it's the same thing here. You have Lindsey Graham mocking Trump at the Republican-Jewish coalition. Do we have a Republican-French coalition? Do we have a Republican? This is how I look at Israel. I look at Israel as a nominal ally that spies on us a lot. That's how I look at Israel. You're like, Tom, what about the spiritual connection? I know that everything big in the Bible, for all intents and purposes, happened in that in the nation state of Israel. Whether this is the true name, I mean, what it encompasses a lot of what happened in the Bible now. Whether this is the true nation state of Israel, yes, Jerusalem is still the same Jerusalem. Mount of Olives is the same Mount of Olives. I'm not saying any of that, but you know, the borders or whatever else. But again, I digress. But I look at Israel as a nominal ally and really a benefactor state that we give them $3.8 billion every year in cash. Every year. Why? They are one of the richest nations on the planet with over 1,000 nuclear warheads. Yeah. And the same delivery systems that we have. Why do they have the same delivery systems that we have? Because we gave them our delivery systems, which, of course, they sell a lot of our military secrets to China. Aaron, give me a China.
China.
There you go. Oh, Tom, it's already been proven.
Yep.
There's nothing to discuss here. Israel, just like Ukraine, sells our military secrets to China. Ukraine just simply sells our weapons on the black market to Islamic extremists. So that's everything having to do with France. I mean, look who's running France. You have a man married to a man running France. Emmanuel Macron married to Brigitte Macron, who has no pictures of herself as a pregnant woman or as a girl anywhere. I mean, again, she's like 10 years older than me. You would have some photos of yourself, but I digress. So we don't have a Republican French coalition or English coalition or German coalition or any of our allies, Japan, Australia, Canada, nothing. But lo and behold, Lindsey Graham is speaking at the Republican Jewish coalition. Why? Because he gets money to do it.
Yep.
He gets AIPAC money. And you're like, Tom, it's not directly into his own coffers. Do you really believe that now? Do you really believe that none of this campaign money gets into the pockets of those who are running the campaigns and the candidate themselves? Because all you have to do is have a spouse or a loved one buying ads or be an advisor. And so if you get $10 million from AIPAC and you spend $5 million, you gotta leave that up, Aaron, $5 million to buy ads. Let's just say Lindsey has his, because Lindsey has no wife and never has had one, nor children or anything else, lives alone. But I digress again. You can just trust this guy, though. I mean, it's very strange that he's never even been seen dating a woman, ever. Kind of strange, isn't it? I mean, again, Tucker Carlson has lived in D.C. basically his whole life till now. He lives Boca Grande part of the year, down the road from here, and in Maine part of the year, so he doesn't live in D.C. anymore, but basically his entire life was spent in D.C., and he basically says that we're ruled by homosexuals.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth. And if you are homosexual, God loves you, but if you don't turn from your sin, you're going to die and go straight to hell for it, just so you know. That's the Bible. I just saw George Santos today being interviewed by Tucker Carlson. Let's leave this up. Saw George Santos being interviewed on Tucker Carlson today. And He's talking about how basically he went to confession and allegedly got right with God, but he's moving back in with it, or he's going back with his homosexual partner. You're not right with God. And Tucker's nodding his head to all that crap. Like, you're not right with God. You've never turned from your sin. I mean, we are warned in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Do not be deceived. I mean, it starts off with, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Says the exact same thing in Revelation 21:8. Says the exact same thing in Galatians 5:19 through 21. There's no denying it, but yet people will nod their heads that somebody's right with God when they're still living in a homosexual relationship. It's not the case. We are being run by absolute reprobate minds, where Lindsey Graham actually says at the most homosexual state in the region is what? Israel.
Yep.
The most homosexual, trans, pedophile protecting state in the region. That's a pretty tough thing to say, since Islam is pedophile. But the most pedophilic protecting state is Israel. And here you have Lindsey Graham speaking. Why? Well, speaking at the Republican Jewish Coalition, and actually saying, quote, I feel good about where we are as a nation. We're killing all the right people. We've run out of bombs. We didn't run out of bombs in World War II, he ends up saying. This is a man who literally could not fight his way out of a wet paper bag. I mean, literally. I mean, I guarantee you, he cannot and never has been able to jog 10 yards ever in his life, ever. But yet here he is, Mr. Bomb this, let's go to war, we're killing all the right people. What was the second part? Do you remember? We're killing all the right people.
And cutting your taxes.
And cutting your taxes. Like, that's the same thing. People are dying.
Yeah.
People get cut in half by bombs, and this guy, this twerp, doesn't even care. Look at all the money he gets from AIPAC. No wonder he speaks at the Republican Jewish Coalition. $1,580,000 he received from AIPAC. From the pro-Israel lobby that doesn't have to abide by Farah laws, excuse me, because their offices are in America. So I guess that's how it works, right?
Oh, yeah.
You just have a guess that they're going to let China do it. Aaron, give me a China.
China.
You're going to let China do it?
Yeah.
As long as they have your offices in America.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're in America.
And again, why is it that Israel is the only country that you are allowed to be an American citizen and fight in their army? It needs to end. Israel is one of the number one spy states on America in the world, if not number one. And yet we allow our soldiers to go fight and allow our citizens to go fight in their army. You're talking about a possible pathway of espionage.
Yeah.
They don't even allow Israel in to Langley, Virginia, the head of the CIA, because they caught them bugging the offices so much. And every time an Israeli diplomat or Israeli, government official enters any room in any official building in the Capitol or in D.C., they sweep it for bugs afterwards. For some reason, because I guess people believe that we are spiritually obligated. We're not. The nation state of Israel was replaced by the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the new nation state of Israel. That's the new Israel. It's all over the Bible. I need to spend an entire show on it. It's all over the Word of God. There is no, the New Testament trumps the Old. You don't ever hearken back to the Old Testament at the expense of the, you never hearken back to the Old Testament at the expense of the new.
Yep.
The new trumps the old. And the new does not tell us to hearken back to a secular government. And again, if you're going to like turn a blind eye to Israel, then you're turning a blind eye to the very fact, why did Jeffrey Epstein run to Israel? Why did they run to Israel? He ran to Israel because, remember what, for some reason, he got all the special treatment at the prosecutorial level. And then pre-sentencing goes to Israel. And he calls them up and says, I'm in Israel. And that would never have been allowed. If that was you, you'd already be locked up. But he was there because he knew that Israel would never, ever, ever allow him to be brought back to the United States he was already convicted, to then be sentenced to prison. They would never allow that. They wouldn't do it. So he knew that because Israel keeps pedophiles. That is just the way that it is. So, and again, absolutely support homosexuality, transgenderism, homosexual marriage. So again, if you're going to be one of these Christians, and again, I could name names of all of these Christian pastors who have the Israeli flag all over their stages, which is not a true Israeli flag.
No.
So they have them all over their stages and talk about their blind support for Israel because of Genesis chapter 12. This wasn't Israel, it was Abram still, not Abraham. But anyway, I digress. So again, then if you cannot criticize Israel or you're going to burn in hell for all of eternity, then you would have to turn a blind eye to the fact that Israel is directly responsible for the genocide of 29 million Christians. They are. That's just a fact. Armenian believers, that's just the way that it is. And you have to turn a blind eye to their support of homosexuality, transgenderism, and harboring of pedophiles. So that makes absolutely no sense. If something makes no sense, then it's not of God. And I didn't mean to get into all that, but when you're sitting there and you're at the Republican Jewish Coalition and you're saying we're killing all the right people, like Lindsey Graham did, he's actually saying that to the people that give him $1 million for his from AIPAC for whatever, for his campaigns. That he really kind of runs. He doesn't run unchallenged, but for all intents and purposes, Lindsey Graham just won't be beat. It's just the way that it is, sadly. All right, let's go to the next one. Drago video. Matt Gaetz red-pilled millions of normies watching OWN that Netanyahu is trying to sabotage President Trump's peace plan. Play for me.
Yesterday, Israeli airstrikes in the Gaza Strip killed at least 104 people, including 46 children and 20 women. Israel claimed it supported the Trump-Gaza ceasefire, but it carried out these strikes citing retaliation for a soldier's death and alleged militant activity. Before these latest strikes, Gaza's media office reported around 80 violations of the ceasefire by Israel, resulting in about 97 Palestinian deaths and 230 people wounded. It's important to note that this data comes from the Gaza media office and should be taken in context. In Lebanon, Israel conducted a ground incursion yesterday in the border town of Blida. They killed a municipal employee who had no known connection to Hezbollah. We appreciate the efforts of President Trump. The man says ceasefire, and for a few glorious hours, the world actually holds its breath. Markets flutter, pundits melt down, and peace, even for a brief, fleeting moment, seems possible. Then right on cue, missiles, jets, explosions, and Israel's government looking around saying, who? Us? It's like the kid who swears he didn't eat the cookies but has chocolate all over his face and crumbs on his tie. Every time Trump wrangles another ceasefire out of thin air, it lasts about as long as a Hunter Biden sobriety pledge. Israel signs on the dotted line, flashes a smile for the cameras, and then, what's that? A defensive strike. Always defensive, always urgent, always right after the ink dries. President Trump, bless him, he keeps trying. He's out there doing his best to ensure that we've got some semblance of order. It's like he's having to imitate a global kindergarten teacher. Okay, everyone, hands to yourself. No rockets during snack time. And every time someone breaks the rule, it's Israel's hand. They shrug. They say, oh, Hamas looked at us funny. Trump's ceasefire was the most stable thing in the Middle East since air conditioning. It had Iran backing off, Arab states were signing the Abraham Accords, and Israel was practically glowing under the sunlight of American support. But that wasn't enough for Bibi. Apparently, the Netanyahu crowd couldn't resist a little more bloodshed. They had to launch a few more clarifying airstrikes because nothing clarifies peace like dead children in Gaza or a dead civil servant in Lebanon.
See, he's just like his pal, Lindsey Graham, that he makes sure he funnels $1 million to. That was just this year. So millions and millions of dollars through AIPAC to Lindsey Graham. Netanyahu, this is all self-preservation and self-enrichment. He's facing criminal charges. And as long as they're under a state of emergency, they can't try him. So he's got to create the emergency. Again, if you give people power under an emergency, they'll create the emergency to stay in power. It's called in America, it's emergency powers. Government can, no, that's not in the Constitution. There's nothing in the Constitution about emergency powers. Nothing trumps the Constitution. That's why you always should run from, well, if emergency power, if we're in the state of an emergency, then we can just initiate martial law. Absolutely not. We are not ruled Romans 13 style by people. We are ruled by a document. And emergency powers do not trump the document that we are ruled by, the Constitution of the United States of America. But that's what BB is doing, creating a constant emergency. That video is from late last week or mid last week, not mid to late last week, where you have Israel now did the Palestinians. And again, listen, I want you to understand something. How do I look at the Gazans? What people would maybe call the Palestinians. There is no Palestinian state, but I'll just call them Gazans. How do I look at the Gazans? Not good. Not good. They have voted in. They have voted in Hamas to be their ruler year after year after year with over 60% of the vote. So that's who they want. And that's what they get. And they know that Hamas steals from them every single day, builds tunnels, and they get a lot of national aid coming from UNRWA, from the UN. And now Trump has made sure that we have severed our ties to UNRWA. But anyway, which is a great thing, because it's basically just a terrorist supporting network, and you and I pay for it through the UN, because we give more to the UN than anybody else. But anyway, so they know they're being stolen from by Hamas every day of their lives. They're building tunnels instead of getting the food they're supposed to get. And they still vote for them over and over again. Just like all the blue cities right now are in peril. You have Minneapolis about to elect a Muslim. You have New York about to elect Zohran Mandami. So we know all that. And so they, for me, it is give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Cut ties. Or Matthew 10, 13 through 15. Yeah, whosoever will not receive you nor hear your words, shake dust off your feet. Forget those people. Goodbye. No more federal funds for you. And I mean, literally, just don't. I mean, a lot of people are so concerned. Trump's putting out Truth Social posts and everything else about New York and this horrible thing. When Mom Donnie wins this thing, it's going to be terrible. No, it's going to be terrible. Who cares about them? Let New York be New York. Let Chicago be the murder capital of the world. Why? The people who live there vote the same people in over and over and over again. The rest of you need to move out. It's really that simple. Just go ahead and move to Florida as long as you're going to vote Republican. If you're not, stay right where you are, right where you're at. But anyway, Trump painstakingly gets this Gazan peace deal. And back to the Gazans real quick. A lot of inbreeding, very low IQ. The Egyptians won't take them. Syria won't take them. Lebanon won't take them. They all build massive walls. Nobody will take them. Biden tried, and by the way, we would be importing them by the hundreds of thousands right now if Kamala Harris was president. But finally, Trump gets this Qatari peace, 6-7 nations involved in this peace deal. And lo and behold, the Gazans don't blow it. Israel does. Why? They claim these tail wagging the dog, false flag operations that nobody can prove. It's just like when the mysterious missile landed in Poland, and here comes Volodymyr Zelensky. Oh, it was Russians. That would never. I'm Volodymyr Zelensky. It was then proven to be a Ukrainian missile because it keeps the war going. Yep. And they blame the Russians for days until Poland said, no, that would be a Ukrainian missile. Same exact things are going on here. What did Gaza do? What can Gaza do at this point? There's nothing left. You saw the video. There's nothing left of Gaza. It's a pile of rubble. There's nothing left. It's cinder block piles. By the way, there's nothing left of the Christian churches either because they've all been blown up.
Yep.
Lo and behold, the last one standing got blown up by Israel, our ally. Oh, I'm Lindsey Graham. Am I not allowed to say that? Oh, man, I want to name the pastor so bad.
I know you do.
So bad.
They're coming to my brain, too.
I know. pastors who have the Israeli flags all over your church. Are we allowed to talk about the very fact that Israel targeted Christian churches, blew up the last one, and it was the only thing standing? There really wasn't anything to discern. It wasn't like, it was not discernible about whether that was the church or whether that was a government building or whether a mosque. No, it was a Christian church with a cross on it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't blown up by a mosque. It was blown up by Israel. And I can't stand a mosque. And you have Muslims executing Christians every day by the hundreds, every single day. The most persecuted time to ever be a Christian is right now. But lo and behold, you have this painstaking deal put together by Donald J. Trump, and then Israel blows it. It's just like Matt Gaetz said. Netanyahu comes out. He's just like Lindsey Graham. Acts like he's a supporter. Oh, yeah, we really want peace. No, that's not good for him if there's peace. It's not good for the military-industrial complex if there's peace. And Israel blows it, kills 100 people, and then it's cited. Now, again, this is by, you know, Muslim TV and Muslim media, so you never know how Al Jazeera, how accurate it is. They named 80 other violations, and then they also had another incident where 97 were killed, and then Israel, for some reason, does an incursion into Lebanon and kills a city employee. And they just blow up the whole peace deal. Why? There's no threat coming from Gaza anymore. It's leveled. There's nothing left. It's leveled. And I believe, even though I don't buy into the whole 10-7 scenario, I can put them up as you see fit, Aaron. I don't buy into the whole 10-7 2023 scenario that Israel just simply invaded. They were invaded by Muslims. No matter what, even if Mossad or / the CIA, it doesn't appear to be the CIA was involved in that one, because the CIA was actually on the record warning that this was coming on 10-7 for the music festival. We had one of the most strategically powerful air defense systems on the planet was circumvented by paragliders. Huh. And just amazing. I mean, you can't go 10 feet without an AR-15, without an AK-47 or AR-15, whatever they carry in the IDF. But anyways, so how they simply flew across is beyond me. But anyway, so they fly across, kill 1,400 people. That, in fact, did happen. And that, in fact, was carried out by Muslims. So you have both evil forces involved in this. The evil forces being, you have people who orchestrated that inside of Mossad or the IDF, and the evil people who carried it out. That's just the way that it is, because 1,400 people died for the politically expedient, expedient motives of the very few. 1,400 people died. So that's very, it's never been deep dived into. We still don't know about Butler, Pennsylvania. We still don't know about the golf course, Ryan Routh. We still don't know about Thomas Crooks. We still don't know about Charlie Kirk, and we still don't know about 10-7. Amazing, isn't it? We never get to find out. And when it's finally sent to us, every line is redacted.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so tired of being ruled over by homosexual fools. I really am. And they tell me, you are not wise enough to read the things that we read. Okay. Man who has sex with other men. Okay, thank you. You can't figure out that nothing fits in the right spots. Okay, and you shouldn't have whiskers rubbing up against other whiskers, and you never should be attracted to a hairy anus.
Exit only.
So, I mean, number one rule, okay, they pull the pants down, they got a penis, and they got a hairy butt, you shouldn't be attracted to that. I'm giving you friendly biblical advice.
Seems simple.
Yeah, I mean, right. Now, you say you got fooled, like Crying Game style, and you go into the room, all right, and you hike the pants down, and lo and behold, there's a penis, and there's a hairy butt, okay, and the guy's talking in a deep voice like mine. Okay, you shouldn't be attracted to that. And if you are attracted to that, you need to pray your way out of being attracted to that. Very simple. Just some life advice for everybody. So here we have this whole situation blown up now. We'll see how bad it gets. But lo and behold, it wasn't the Gazans, and I can't stand the Gazans. You don't have to choose sides. If I had to choose sides, I'd choose Israel. Because I certainly am not going to choose radical Islam. But there's evil on both sides. You know what? They want to fight. Let them fight. New York wants Mom Donnie. It's hard to say because it's M first. If you want to say Mom Donnie, but it's not. It's Mom, like Mom, like Mother. Mom Donnie. That's what New York wants. Let them have it. They want them. They want this guy, the guy for the mayor. I got it if I get to the Islamic section tonight. Maybe I'll skip to it. But the guy who's running for mayor of Minneapolis, he looks like one of the guys. What was the Tom Hanks movie where he was the got captured by pirates?
Captain Phillips.
Thank you. So Captain Phillips. All right, he looks like one of those guys. He looks literally like one of the pirates in that movie. I mean, literally, looks like the lead character. Pull it up right now. It looks just like him. And he's waving a Somali flag as he's running. And the cops in Dearborn, Michigan right now, I know I'm shifting all over the place, but scary cops in Dearborn, Michigan would have an Islamic, he looks just like that guy. I mean, identical. See if you can find the guy who's running for mayor of Minneapolis. It looks identical. Just snapshot that in your mind. And then right now, Dearborn, Michigan would have an Islamic badge on their, both on their front of their uniform and the patches on their uniform for Dearborn, Michigan Police Department, if it wasn't such a national outcry after everybody found out about it. We put it on this podcast too. All right, shifting off of that for a minute. Aaron, if you get it, just pull it up. We'll get it. Did you guys get it already?
No, I'm
okay, because I hear Brent over there talking. Brent usually doesn't say nothing. All right, so let's go to the next thing. Let's go to the shutdown. Let's go to SNAP or EBT, food stamps, just so everybody knows. You're going to love this video. They have, it's also Glock for Files posted this. They have the whole family stealing from the grocery store. Playing for me.
We got the whole team helping. No EBT.
Open the door.
And that little girl will be spouting out puppies by the time she's like 12, 13 years of age. And she's already, I want that.
Yeah.
And she already running out of a store. How old do you think that girl? I haven't had kids in a long time. Two years old. She's running out of the store with a stolen apple and a stolen banana. I mean, that's how they're raising their kids. Tom, you're racist. It's got nothing to do with race. If you could be white and be just as evil, and you can raise your kids in horrific fashion. I was a cop for 25 years. Brent was a cop in Cincinnati. Evil spans all races. Mm-hmm. All races. So, but there you go. Okay, a disproportionate amount of people on SNAP are black cover. Let's all be honest. Disproportionate amount of our violent crime, 60% of our violent crime is committed by 13% of the population. So we have, and the only crime that you were seeing is black on white crime and no white on black crime ever.
Yep.
Ever. Don't show me a video. There isn't. So we have to address things. We have to be honest and not be worried about being called racist, which I'll be right now because I'm going to show you this pic from Aaron. So there they are. That's the guy who's running. So tell me there's any difference. That's the guy running for mayor of Minneapolis, and he's going to win.
Yeah.
And he waves the Somali flag. Tim Walz is Minneapolis, of course. Amazing. Truly amazing. I mean, identical. Look, they're basically identical twins. I wonder if, you know, he got kind of a, you know, maybe he's an actor too.
They're all brothers.
Yeah, who knows? But anyway. All right, so moving on. Back to SNAP. Jake video. The average female who gets no food from the government, average female, weighs 146 pounds. Average female. The average SNAP recipient female, get this, guys, is 211 pounds. That's average. So that means they're actually somewhere between 185 and 250. Play it for me.
You know, I was reading that SNAP's going to run out. Okay, listen to me, everybody. This whole thing of like 40 million people are going to go hungry. First off, those 40 million people average an extra 40 pounds on them over the average working American. If you took the average person that's on SNAP getting free food and the average person that gets no free food from the government, the average female who gets no free food from the government is 146 pounds. The average SNAP recipient is 211 pounds. So
this is
it
our
a
case
food?
Point. This is our case
I know. First off, we talk about going hungry. Nobody could benefit from a nice fast more than the SNAP recipient.
It's meal food. What do they call it? Food insecurity. It's food insecurity.
It's food insecurity. Is there one person that's not going to eat?
No.
Is there anyone's going to go hungry?
Same thing with healthcare, man. Right. I keep saying it. It's like nobody's going to get refused healthcare ever.
Right.
In this country.
Right. Right.
I don't care who you are, you're going to get.
And then every day, Democrats get in front of a podium and say, starting tomorrow, Americans are going to go hungry. Okay, listen, if you're a female and you're 211, 211 pounds, and by the way, if I did it right now with Aaron, he would love every minute of it. I dispatched Aaron right now and I said, you know, Aaron, find me every single SNAP video you can. It's all a bunch of fat women, white and black, but mostly fat. Don't do it, Aaron. So... all fat women. I mean, mega fat. I'm not talking about Tom Lipley fat. I'm fat. I'm talking about mega fat. I'm talking about you've gotten to the place where you're useless to society because you're so fat. You're a Jerry Springer episode fat. You can't move because you're fat. You can't get it. You can't sit on a plane because you're fat. You can't sit in a seat in a movie theater because you're fat. I'm talking about that level of fat. And the average one is 40 pounds larger than the average American, when you're a SNAP recipient. Average females, 211 pounds. I'll tell you, there's another one. I gave you the disqualifiers immediately with hairy butts and penises. You want to run from that. If you see a giant fat woman, run.
Yeah.
They have problems. Run. I'm just telling you. All right, let's go to the next one. Wall Street Apes video. This is insane. Food stamp spending was just $4.5 billion, which is incredible, in December of 2019. Anybody want to guess what it is now? Anyone want to guess? By December of 2022, thanks to a massive expansion by the Biden administration, which added $12 trillion to our debt, food stamp spending was, literally, 6 years ago, it was $4 billion. Okay, $4 billion, it's, I believe, per month. $4.5 billion per month. What is it now per month? $11 billion. Per month. So it's basically three times what it was 6 years ago. $11 billion per month feeding mainly illegals and illegals Democrats dumped into America. Matt Walsh, play for me.
From the Department of Agriculture, you can see their monthly food stamp spending was just $4.5 billion in December of 2019. By December 2022, thanks to a massive expansion by the Biden administration, food stamp spending was $11 billion per month. That's a lot of new artificially subsidized demand. And guess what? In that same period, grocery prices went up. By some estimates, food prices go up by 1% for every 12% increase in food stamp spending. In this case, we're looking at a percentage increase of nearly 150%. So you could do the math on that. It's more than a 10% increase in your grocery bill every single month. And what this means is that if you're a working American and you're not on food stamps, meaning you are a functional citizen who is taking care of yourself and your own family. You are a functional contributing citizen. What that means is you are actually paying against your will for other people's groceries twice. You're paying when the government takes the money out of your paycheck, and then you're paying again every time you buy groceries for yourself. So who exactly is benefiting from food stamps, and how much of the spending is actually necessary? So put another way, how many people would starve to death out on the street if food stamps were abolished? We all know that number is much, much less than the total number of food stamp recipients in this country. Does anyone think that 45 million people would starve if they didn't have an EBT card? Tens of millions of people across the country just dropping dead from starvation. Does anyone think that? So what is the number of people who actually need, like would starve without it? 1%? 0%? 5%? I mean, what's the number? 10? Now, if food stamps were abolished tomorrow, how many people exactly would be like lying on the sidewalk, rib cages protruding, starving to death? Of the 40 million people on food stamps, how many actually depend on it to live? Like that is the question. And these are questions we should probably answer now that we know the enormous cost of these programs, thanks to the government shutdown. And while we're at it, we should answer this question. Has anyone ever starved to death in the modern history of this country because they haven't had access to food?
Nobody has ever starved to death in America and during my lifetime. Not one. Not one person. I've been here 57 years and not one person in America has ever starved to death. Not one. And you actually imagine how disingenuous, repulsive, and evil you have to be to espouse these lies and then repeat the lies that are espoused. That Americans are going to starve. And as he said, I mean, how many out of the 42 million people that are on EBT / SNAP right now, 42 million people, 42 million people that you and I, 38 trillion dollars in debt. And now we are spending, 6 years ago, we were spending, leave that up, Aaron. We had 2019, pre-COVID. Wonder why they had COVID come in to smash our economy into 1,000 pieces, to leverage us into a one world commerce system with a single access point controlled by them. Food stamp spending in 2019, $4.5 billion a month. I mean, right now, in the next 19 seconds, we'll spend $1 million. And Trump was just forced via judicial fiat to continue to fund SNAP temporarily until, of course, Trump wins at the appellate level, as he does every time. But now you and I are going to be stuck until it goes to the appellate court, continuing to give money, food, Twinkies, and everything to fat women. That's where it's all going. Fat, giant, fat women popping out one kid after another so they qualify for another $1,000 a month, another $10,000 a month, whatever it is. 2019, and it just trains these people to be absolutely useless fat turds their entire life. Tom, do you think Jesus would call people fat turds? Absolutely. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Jesus' name called. Read it. But I digress. So food stamp spending just 6 years ago, accelerated, of course. And by the under both administrations, both Biden and Trump sped this up. And Trump shouldn't even listen to this judicial fiat coming from Obama-appointed, Biden-appointed judges. But anyway, because they're just following their orders from the Democratic Party. I thought they're supposed to be unbiased and partial jurors, not so. It's $4.5 billion per month in 2019. Now it's $11 billion per month. Wonder why we have this. Wonder why we have this, and now in the next 19 seconds we'll spend another $1 million. Watch it. You watch it. Time it for yourself. Aaron gets this off the internet. You can find it on the internet. For time it for yourself. Every 19 to 22 seconds we spend $1 million on what? None of it ever comes my way. Not a dollar ever comes my way. Never comes your way either. But it goes to a whole lot of people. Aaron and I tracked one woman made $10,000 a month off the government. $10,000 a month. I think you could all survive on $10,000 a month. $120,000 a year. I think you probably could squeeze by on that, couldn't you? And she does that and does nothing but lay around all day getting fatter. Her goal in life is to get fatter and for her kids to get fatter. I mean, I'm telling you, if I unleashed Aaron right now, I could play you 150 videos of fat women crying about how they're not going to get their food stamps. It's probably going to start popping. You get that chart?
I got to find it.
You got to find it. Okay, yeah. Aaron will find the chart for me. But anyway, it just shows you, because even under the Trump administration, it went up drastically, because 2019 was Trump. It went up drastically in 2020, because everyone's going to die of the disease that's more survivable than the flu, but everyone's going to die of it, so we're going to have to increase SNAP benefits for all the non-working Americans who are barred from working because you can't show up because the disease is going to get you. That disease, remember that one that everybody kowtowed to, including every church in America outside of ones like this one, and we're like one out of a million. Everybody else closed. Everybody in this area mitigated and or closed. Very simple. All right, let's go to the next one. Rand Paul video. So now the title of the show tonight that it took me 47 minutes to get to is the genesis of the shutdown. I want to give you the true motivations. And by the way, I saw an app prediction today. I would give credit, but I cannot remember who it was. One of the people I watch all the time. An app prediction that after Mom Donnie is elected and the other guy from Minneapolis and there's also gubernatorial election in Jersey, and Virginia, Lindsey Sears appears to be way behind Abigail Spencer, which is unbelievable. But allegedly, I thought that, you know, they didn't want to vote more white people in. But I digress again. But anyway, allegedly, after the elections, well, you don't have to appear to be so left anymore, that the people are predicting that the shutdown will stop. But anyway, I want to show you what is the motivation behind it. Rand Paul video. The government is shut down. 50 Dems can give subsidies. Why? So Dems, not 50, so Dems can give subsidies to rich people. Play for me.
What hasn't been discussed enough of is the Democrats' objections. People gloss over it. They say, well, they're objecting because they want these Obamacare subsidies. Well, someone should discuss what they are. It's if you make $225,000 a year, the Obamacare subsidy gives you $1,500. If you make $100,000 a year, you get $13,000. So the Democrats are refusing to go along with the spending level that they voted for last year. Essentially, these are the Biden spending levels. They're refusing to vote again for them because unless they get subsidies for rich people. I mean, really. So food stamps are going to end, you know, in a couple of days. But they're doing this because they want to make sure somebody making $100,000 a year gets a $13,000 healthcare premium subsidy. So I think it's a ridiculous notion, and ultimately the Democrats will have to come back to the table.
So that's exactly, and this is the Democrats always project onto us what who they are, what they do. Braden McGroin, I know it's not just fat women. I'm just saying they're the mascots. How's that? They're the mascots for the SNAP program, or the giant fat women. But anyway, so what he's saying here, what Democrats always do is project onto us what they're actually doing. They're the party of the rich. We don't really have rich people anymore. We're the working class party. We don't really have them. I know there's a few, but like, you know, the Koch brothers are long gone. Donald Trump doesn't get half of what Kamala Harris got, because it was all donated to her by these giant PACs, these giant campaign PACs that are funded by multi billionaires. Not to mention all the billionaires overseas that are funding the Democrats. We're the party of the working class now. So the only people that, and again, these are the SALT benefits. I can go back to that example. What's the SALT benefits? SALT benefits are that you can write off. You're in California. You're in New York. You're in Illinois. Well, they had these SALT benefits that Donald Trump took away. What a SALT benefit was is that you could write off your state income tax, because they're absolutely crazy amounts of money in those states. You could write them off of your federal income tax. Trump got rid of that because it benefited the rich. I thought we were the party that's always trying to, you know, increase taxes on the middle class and give tax breaks to the rich. That never actually happens, but Democrats say it, and low information, numbskull idiots just believe it. And this is another example right here that I want to show you. Why are they doing this? They're actually doing this shutdown to benefit their rich constituencies. That's why they're doing it. So that people making well over $100,000 a year get a $13,000 Obamacare write-off. That's why they're doing it. It's got nothing to do with keeping poor people on Obamacare. And Obamacare is an apocalypse. It's an Armageddon. It's wretched. It's horrible. Which, by the way, you always know it's horrible and it's wretched whenever Congress writes themselves out of their own legislation and gives themselves gold-plated insurance, which is what they did with Obamacare. They write themselves right out of it. They don't have to obey insider trading laws. They don't have to get Obamacare. They have a bar right there on the grounds. I mean, it's truly amazing. They vote on their own raises. It's an absolute joke. So again, I want to show you why it is that there's a shutdown. It's so the Democrats can benefit the people who vote for them. That's it. It's got nothing to do with the working poor. All right, America video. Elon Musk, the homeless industrial complex. Play it for me.
Like the homeless population doubled or something. Like people don't understand like the homeless thing, because it sort of preys on people's empathy. And I think we should have empathy, and we should try to help people. But the homeless industrial complex is really it's dark, man. It should be that network of NGOs should be called like the drug zombie farmers, because the more homeless people and really like when you meet like, you know, somebody who's like totally dead inside, shuffling along down the street with a needle dangling out of their leg. Homeless is the wrong word. Like, homeless implies that somebody got a little behind in their mortgage payments, and if they just got a job offer, they'd be back on their feet. But someone who's, I mean, you see these videos of people that are just shuffling, you know, they're on the fentanyl, they're like, you know, taking a dump in the middle of the street, you know, they got like open sores and stuff. They're not like one drop offer away from getting back on their feet.
Right. This is not a homeless issue.
Homeless is it's a propaganda word.
Right.
These sort of charities they get money proportionate to the number of homeless people or number of drug zombies.
Right.
So their incentive structure is to maximize the number of drug zombies, not minimize it.
Right.
That's why they don't arrest the drug dealers, because if they arrest the drug dealers, the drug zombies leave. So they know who the drug dealers are. They don't arrest them on purpose, because otherwise the drug zombies would leave, and they would stop getting money from the state of California and from all the charities.
Wait a minute. So you say
it's dark, man.
Is that real? So they're in coordination with law enforcement on this?
Yeah.
So how do they have those meetings?
They're all in cahoots.
Well, when you find
this, it's like such. This is a diabolical scam. So and San Francisco has got this tax, this gross receipts tax, which it's not even on revenue; it's on all transactions, which is why Stripe and Square and a whole bunch of financial companies had to move out of San Francisco, because it wasn't a tax on revenue; it's a tax on transactions. So if you do, like, you know, trillions of dollars transactions, it's not revenue. You're taxed on any money going through the system in San Francisco. Like Jack Dorsey pointed this out, and they said, like, look, that they had to move Square from San Francisco to Oakland, I think. Stripe had to move from San Francisco to South San Francisco, a different city. And that money goes to the homeless industrial complex, that tax that was passed. So there's billions of dollars that go, as you pointed out, billions of dollars every year that go to these non-governmental organizations that are funded by the state. Like, it's not clear how to turn this off. It's a self-licking ice cream cone situation. They get this money. The money is proportionate to the number of homeless people or number of drug zombies, essentially. They try to actually increase, because that, like in some cases, like, it's somebody did an analysis. When you add up all the money that's flowing, they're getting close to $1 million per homeless per drug.
So here we go again, because it's all about these NGOs and government agencies, not just non-government organizations, but also governments that then then finance NGOs at the state level who happen to be run by Gavin Newsom's wife or something along those lines. So you just have California. Let's just use California as an example, since Gavin Newsom's running for president coming up in 2028. So Gavin Newsom spent $42 billion so far on homelessness. How's it gone? It's up 45%. Because it's on purpose, and he knows it's on purpose, but he gets money from it. He gets money both for his own political motives, and he gets personal money from it. That's how it works. Everybody has all this, and this is why I have never been sympathetic to homeless people as a church. How dare you say that? Because that's what all the pastors, they feel obligated to say certain things. I don't feel obligated to say certain things, and I don't feel obligated to not say certain things. I say whatever I want. That's the way that it is. And I have never been sympathetic to homeless people. Why? Because I was a cop for 25 years. You talk to Brent, cop in Cincinnati, me right here. And Brent was a cop, like, in a real area. I was a cop here in Mayberry, basically. But I still dealt with homeless people a lot. And ain't none of them. First of all, they're all fat again. And nobody's dying. And again, it's got nothing to do with, like Elon said, this... I have spent time dead freaking broke, and I never went homeless. Yeah. It really has nothing to do with, well, somebody lost their jobs. Like Elon Musk said it perfectly. These people are not a job offer away from getting out. We had homeless encampment to my back left right here at the church in the woods, where we worked for about, what do you think, Aaron, a year and a half to get them out of here?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, Tom, you should have reached out to them. You can't reach out to people who don't want it. Yep. That's giving that which is holy unto the dogs. You talk to Brent in Cincinnati. They don't want off the streets. They just keep throwing money at it. And there's the Democrats hovering around the problem with their organizations that massage the problem, that grow the problem. Because if the problem goes away, they lose their organization that gets funded by Aaron, by Brent, by me, and by you. It's really that easy. That's all this country is about right now. We've lost our way. We have lost the plot. All we are is a country $38 trillion in debt to fund these ridiculous NGOs that feed and promulgate and promote homelessness and drug use. They have all of these programs that we spend hundreds of billions of dollars on. Gavin Newsom, $42 billion just in his little totalitarian reign in California. $42 billion spent on homelessness. And all of this money just absolutely lost. You talk to people who have ever worked with the homeless. They don't want to be helped. They don't want off the streets. If you got off the streets, you're going to have to go to work. They don't want to go to work. They want a panhandle. You ever actually followed any of those stories? The guys panhandling on the side of the road? You ever follow those guys home? They have a car parked around the corner. Mm-hmm. And they're living better lives than you are, because they're making $1,000-$1,500 a day. Because simps are out there handing the money. I don't do that here as a church. And lo and behold, God's not cursing us. Yep. Funny, isn't it? I tell those people. Here's the thing, too. You're like, Tom, you're just a cold, hard son gun. No, you can call me all you want. Doesn't matter. No, what I simply tell the homeless is, I'll tell you what, you come to church, I'll help you. Whenever you sit through the whole service, I'll help you. Our entire service is about two, on average, about two and a half hours long. About 2.5 hours long. That's all you gotta do. I'll help you. I'll probably give you enough money for you to feed yourself for the entire week. I won't give you money. I'll give you like a gift card. So you can't go spend it on drugs. I've sent my own employees and church members to the store to load up people to do this. So you might think I'm a cold, heartless son of a gun. I'm not. I just put a demand on it. Show up for church. And lo and behold, what do? They show up 2 minutes before church ends and then want their money.
Yep.
And I'm like, screw you. Goodbye. No, you're like, well, you're mean. No, that's if you give them the money, then again, you're just enabling their wretched, horrible, unaccountable behavior. I won't do that. I will never do that. So, I mean, it's all a lie. It's just being funneled to Democrats. But Republicans aren't running homeless organizations, are we? Big cities are. So the big cities that aren't even NGOs, but for all intents and purposes, they are NGOs, are receiving our federal dollars so they can pay themselves to address a problem that they never intend on solving, like climate change. It's weird how that works, isn't it? Just a side note, because Aaron sent me this. James Madison noted in the Federalist number 57 that Congress can make no law, Obamacare, can make no law which will not have its full operation on themselves,
yeah,
as well as on the great mass of society. But lo and behold, all these people that claim Aaron, me, you, Brent, are a threat to democracy, violate the Constitution every freaking day of their miserable, wretched lives. Let's go to the next one. Here's another great Trump accomplishment. Rapid Response 47, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang. When President Trump took office, he wanted us to manufacture these critical technologies onshore. Play for me.
Tell me about manufacturing this Blackwell chip in Arizona, Jensen. How difficult was that to achieve, to bring such an important chip production here to America?
Well, first of all, AI is an industrial revolution. And this is the most important technology of our time, potentially the most important technology of all time. And when President Trump first took office, he wanted us to manufacture these critical technologies onshore. He wanted to reindustrialize the United States. He wants to have energy growth. He wants to make sure that the United States is a leader in artificial intelligence. And in order to do so, we need to lead in energy. We need to lead in chips. We need to lead in building AI infrastructures and factories, including lead in building AI models, of course, but also using AI in all the different applications in various industries, from healthcare to manufacturing to robotics to, you know, science and to industry. So he wanted that in his administration, and he wanted it at the speed of light. And so I told him that we would bring manufacturing back within 9 months with the partnership of TSMC, which is an incredible partner for the United States. Foxconn, Wistron, Amkor, and Spill, we've been able to manufacture now the most advanced AI chip in the world completely in the United States and Arizona. The workers worked incredibly hard. The mechanical engineers, the electricians, the plumbers, the construction workers, they all worked around the clock. 9 months later, we're now in volume production of the most advanced AI chip in the world.
See, there's no reason for America to ever be dependent on another nation for anything. Ever. Not rare earths. We have them. Nothing. We don't ever need to, but we've made ourselves dependent because of Democratic Party leadership and the acquiescence of Republicans who are afraid to be called names by the Democrats if they don't cooperate. You just have to get to be like me, like Aaron. Aaron and I don't care what you call us ever. I don't care. I've already been called everything. I mean, you should have seen what I was called during the COVID times. It doesn't even matter anymore. Yeah. People, the people will now call me anti-Semitic. People will, you know, call me xenophobic, misogynist, male chauvinist pig. Fine, call me whatever you want. None of it matters to me as long as I line up with what the Word of God says. So here's the thing. We're kind of in another sort of space race here with AI. For me, what we need to be doing with AI is to make sure that we have AI capability, but no AI totalitarianism. In other words, where everything is now a QR code, digital currency, CBDC currency, social credit systems, because the largest country in the world with 1.4 billion people is already a giant social credit system run by CBDC. That's where it is. We cannot have anybody. I don't care whether it's NVIDIA. I don't care whether, you know, whatever AI company it may be. No, we cannot have everything put on digital technology where somebody else is at the spigot of all that we have. And where it is, where you have to, again, leverage you into a one world commerce system with a single access point controlled by them. That is Revelation 13 and 14. That is the globalist bourgeois leftist goal. AI is their way to get there, because if everything's digital, that means somebody can turn it off. Your passport, your finances, your credit cards, your access to the commerce system, can be your ability to vote can be cut off by somebody else. We cannot have a system like that. Our AI needs to be the system, the AI system that fights against those things. Right now, you have a major problem with Palantir and the Trump administration. They need to be limited. Our AI needs to be combative towards AI. And then you have like the Elon Musk angle on AI, where he's using it for altruistic purposes. I'm not saying all of it's altruistic. I'm not wholesale 100% bought into Elon Musk. But I'm just saying a lot of his is altruistic. He's trying to enable people with disabilities and everything else to recover using AI, using chip technology. But a great accomplishment for Donald Trump here. Where the most advanced AI chip in the world, is now built in America. And by the way, you can be as anti-chip as you want. We need to not be dependent on Taiwan.
Yep.
Because with Trump in, China's not going to move on Taiwan. It's not going to happen. But when if Gavin wins, Gavin will want China to take Taiwan. That's who Gavin is. So, I mean, if Gavin wins in 2028 and not J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio's ever run. And even, like, Rubio can't trust. Overall, he's been a globalist most of his life. So he seems to have taken a right-hand turn, which is a great thing. But we cannot be dependent on Taiwan. Well, I'm against chips. Okay, well, good. Make sure you turn your car in.
Yeah.
Because your car is running on a computer chip right now, unless it is somewhere pre-2010. It's running on a chip. And even before that,
yeah,
it's running on a chip. So I'm just making it easy. Unless your car is 15, 20 years old, it's running on a chip. So that's just the way that it is. So you have to turn your car. I mean, if you're going to be against chips. So right now, everything. That camera that we have right now, chip. Every bit of technology in this room is running on chips and rare earth minerals and everything else. So we have to have them. It's the way that it is. It's part of our national security. We have our missile silos right now with floppy disks running them. It's fact.
Yeah.
We have computers running them from the 70s in our nuclear missile silos right now, floppy disks. Let me show you this Wall Street Apes video. Elon Musk reveals the real reason why Democrats never cleaned out the Social Security system. Play it for me.
That's the nature of the scam. It's a bank shot. So then the rebuttal from the Dems is like, oh, well, the vast majority of the people who are mocked as live in the Social Security Administration weren't receiving Social Security Administration payments. That is true. What they forgot to mention is they're getting fraudulent payments from every other government program. And that's why the Dems were so opposed to turning off, to declaring someone dead who was dead, because it would stop the entire all the other fraud from happening.
And so, but all this, is it trackable? Like all this other fraud...
Totally
if they
triangle.
Wanted to, they could chase it all down.
Yeah, it's not even hard.
And yet they're opposing chasing it all down.
They're opposing chasing it all down because it turns off the money magnet for the illegals.
Wow.
Because it's very logical to I'm saying the most common sense things possible. If someone's got a birthday in Social Security, that is an impossible birthday. Meaning they are older than the oldest living American or were born in the future, then you should call them and say, excuse me, we seem to have your birthday wrong because it says that you're 200 years old. That's all you need to do. And then
you would remove them from the Social Security database and make that number no longer available for all those other government payments.
Exactly.
Wow. And how much money are we talking?
It's hundreds of billions of dollars.
And this is all traceable. Like, you could hunt all this down.
Like, you don't need to be Sherlock Holmes here, is what I'm saying.
Well, this
we don't need to call Sherlock Holmes for this one.
Is this part
of the... just need to call the person and say, excuse me, we seem to have the... like, we must have your birthday wrong because it says you're 200 years old or we're born in the future. So could you tell us what your birthday is?
You were born in the future. Sorry. It says here, you're 200 years old or you were born in the future. I mean, only the most incompetent, worthless government system would ever allow this to happen. Because think of it this way. So all of those things, you're like, and remember, the Democratic Party, the nincompoops, repulsive, disgusting, evil people that they are, their argument was, oh, yeah, well, okay, there was somebody in there that shows that they're 174 years old. But they weren't receiving any Social Security money, just like they always say that illegals aren't receiving any Medicaid money. They're just receiving it from programs funded by Medicaid. That's what they always do. It's all lies from repulsive, disgusting liars who lie and lie about their lies. That's who the Democrats are. So, but Social Security is way more. Your Social Security number is way more than how much Social Security money you're actually receiving. First of all, a lot of it, you have a whole bunch of people who are that are actually dead or never actually alive or 200 years old. That money is going somewhere. They may not go to an individual recipient, but it's going somewhere. But really what it is Social Security number of any sort is access not only to Social Security money, to all other government programs. As Elon Musk said, it's more of an ID number than it is a Social Security number. So if you have a Social Security number and it says that you were born in 2027, it really doesn't matter. If now you, well, they're not getting Social Security. No, they're not getting Social Security money, but they're getting SNAP money, 10 grand a month. See how it works? That is the state of our constitutional republic right now. And what do you and I need to do? We need to get right with God and pray the right people in and pray for God to pour out his spirit on this country. That's what we need to do. In Jesus' mighty name. That's the answer. Even Trump's not the answer. That is the answer. All right, that's it. Rumble Rant tonight. DC941, $20. Thank you so much, DC. Richard Perry, $10. Thank you so much, Richard. Robin Aroni, $5. Thank you so much, Robin. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Stick around for the post game. You're going to love it. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.